Quick shout out to our sponsor, Dealfront. Struggling to reach decision makers? Dealfront has you covered. It's your all-in-one platform to target ideal leads and close deals. Dealfront stands out with live European data in multiple languages, giving you insights and access others can't match. Finding the right decision makers is now just a few clicks away. Dealfront combines market signals, web visitors, and EU company databases, all while ensuring GDPR compliance. Ready to transform your sales game? Get your free demo at dealfront.com. That's dealfront.com. Or check the link in the description and show notes. Elevate your sales strategy with Dealfront. Hello, listeners, watchers, fans, subscribers of the SDR Disco Call Show. If this is your first time joining, what is this show all about? So there's a kind of industry called tech sales, where people are selling software, and also there's a job function within that called sales development. And primarily these type of people like to reach out to customers to introduce their software, or perhaps they're coming through their website and they want to learn more about the software. And what we look to do is find great and interesting people within this profession to give you a little bit of an insight, perhaps convince you to come on board to the dark side. And my job is to find these people and interview them to pick their brains and see what it's all about. So my name is Neil Buyan, and I'd like to say thank you for joining the show. And if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe down below. And if you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, what you could really do to help us out is by giving a rating and make sure that you subscribe. So with this great guest that we've got on today, this is somebody that I'm happy to say that I work alongside with. I've seen him across on LinkedIn, and we actually had the opportunity to meet face-to-face in London this week. So without further ado, guest, can you tell us who are you, where are you based in the world, and what do you do?
Thanks, Neil. Great to be here. Thanks for having me. My name's Josh Brewer. I live in North London. I'm originally from Manchester, and I've been in sales development for, 12 years now. Previously, or traditionally, it's called telesales, and then it's been branded as sales development now, business development. I've been doing that for over 12 years, and in the last 9 years, I've managed to run 4 to 5 different teams at businesses of various stages of funding and growth. In the last year, I've been doing more on my own, so fractional SDR leader work, consultancy, SDR training, and SDR coaching, which we both do together on My Sales Coach.
Love it. Strong intro. So with Josh, he's a vet in the game, but he's a nice guy. There's not many nice guys out there. But Josh, thank you so much for joining. And a question that I love to ask all our guests to kind of get to know you a little bit better outside of sales and sales development. What'd you like to get up to? What are your passions and interests and hobbies, sir?
Yeah, so I've got a 15-month-old son, so that's kind of changed the world in the last year. So spending time with him is always a pleasure. Sports-wise, always been into football, Formula One, music, geopolitics as well. The world is a crazy place right now. But also, I like projects. I like to be busy. At the moment, venturing into growing vegetables in the garden. So that's the project at the moment for the summer.
I love that. I love that. I've learned quite a few new things about you there, Josh. And at this part of the show, what we like to do is visit our guest's LinkedIn profile to get a bit of a visual insight and timeline into their journey and history. And as a reminder, with all of our guests, we'll be putting their LinkedIn profile into the show notes and into the description. So if you want to connect with them, pick their brains, or ask them anything about today's show that we've discussed, feel free to reach out. But as mentioned, Josh is a vet in the game, and he puts a lot of cool posts out on LinkedIn, so make sure that you give him a follow. But if we're thinking back way back in the day in Greater Manchester, working for German Sales and Marketing, German Inside Sales, Head of Market Development, Head of Sales Development, also working at Aiden, quite familiar with those people. Head of Sales Development at Turtle, very familiar with those guys, and Mike Judge, who was a previous guest on the show many years back.
My first hire at Turtle.
Okay, we've got to find out more about that. Yeah. And as you mentioned, in the past year, you've been working alongside ourselves at My Sales Coach. So Josh, we want to know, how did you get into sales, and what has been the journey, in your own words, up until today, sir?
Yeah, so, at uni, I didn't do anything to do with sales or business. I did politics and German, but you know, I was also in a band, so doing a bit of lead singing.
Ooh.
But when I realized that wasn't kind of going to go anywhere, unfortunately, you know, I left uni, went back to Manchester, and then I thought, okay, I need to earn some money. I want to go traveling. So found myself working in a telesales agency doing data cleaning. So I did that for about 6 to 9 months. And yeah, I kind of, that was my first environment in time in a sales kind of environment. And so, you know, that's where I started to kind of see what campaigns businesses work on, telesales people work on. And yeah, started to learn from people around me. But, you know, once I'd been there for a while, I'd been traveling. That was when I thought to myself, okay, what am I going to do next? And at that time, about 10, 12 years ago, you know, London was pretty much the place to be. There was a lot more opportunity than there is now in Manchester. I think things have changed. You know, Manchester's growing, vibrant place. But back then, so I moved down to London and I was like, okay, you know, I've had a bit of experience kind of in telesales. Let's go for this inside sales job, as it was called, and a company called Shopzilla at the time. Yeah. And at that time, it was the big category, emerging category, was product reviews. So if you remember Bazaar Boys, Power Reviews, those guys. I got a job at Shopzilla, you know, selling Power Reviews at the time. So that was my first job.
I love that. And if I can pause you, I want to kind of rewind a little bit, because there's quite a few interesting pieces there. And the first one I wanted to ask about is this lead singing bit, right? Because somebody, myself, I'm an MC / rapper. I've lived and breathed in music. What's the story there, Josh?
The story is just, I've been always enjoyed music. Listened to so much music growing up, you know, got influences from my dad from that point, from being very young, quite eclectic. And yeah, I love to sing. So met some friends at uni, and each of us had a different kind of skill set. So guitar, bass, drums, and mine was singing. So, you know, we formed a band and wrote some of what we say the greatest unheard songs by the masses, but you know, they're classics for us. We love them, and yeah, that was a bit fun. We did some gigging, went and performed at different clubs for a while. And it's a great laugh. We did that in Leeds, where I went to uni, Manchester, and also Liverpool, where some of the boys were from. So yeah, that was fun times.
I love that. And just out of curiosity, what type of genre would that have come under, that sort of singing and with that band?
Yeah, I think, you know, back in the noughties, when we were teens, you know, indie was massive. Like, we always loved hip-hop and R&B, but, you know, I think indie was more of what we could kind of deliver on stage. But like, our lead guitarist was like really into heavy metal, so you'd be doing a song and all of a sudden you'd find there's a heavy metal riff in what was supposed to be quite a soothing indie song. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a real mix. I don't think we ever found our true sound, but, you know, it had quite a few influences.
I love that. And do you know what? Like, over the years, like, working in sales, I've actually come across a lot of people in our industry that have a music background of either, you know, rapping, singing, playing guitars and stuff like that. And I remember a couple of episodes back, we were talking to Andy Laws, who was very pro on the science of sales. And I kind of said, that's never really been my thing, but I do like the, you know, the art of sales, the performance side of it. And I'm just wondering, for yourself, have you ever seen any transferable skills, if any, from your music and gig days that helped with, I don't know, confidence, speaking, or, yeah, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, I think, you know, being a singer means that you can do different things with your voice. So, you know, you can have quite a you know, fun, outgoing voice, or you can really tone it down and be quite, you know, serious and calm and in control. So, you know, you can mess about with it there. That's really helpful in sales. Because I think, you know, one of the big things, especially in the SDR world, is being articulate and engaging over the phone.
Yeah.
If you struggle with your tonality, your voice, then you're going to struggle on the phone as well to engage people. So yeah, that's definitely a transferable skill, I would say. The whole lead singer limelight thing, that wasn't always my natural thing. Public speaking is something is not natural, but it's something I've learned to actually enjoy. But yeah, that was a skill that really needed to be honed in sales.
I love that. And you know what? I can agree with you. Like, public speaking for me when I was younger, it's something that used to scare the hell out of me. You know, being in front of a room full of people, making a point or giving your opinion on something. But then when I think back to when I used to MC in clubs and do gigs as well, I kind of had to mentally say to myself, Neil, this is just like a gig. Like, you're kind of on a little bit of a stage. Like, you've done it to more bigger people. That why the hell is it that you're so scared to do in a room full of sales professionals? And I think it just boiled down to, I always felt that, I didn't know everything about sales, so why does my opinion count? And also, in music, if the music's really loud in the club, it can drown up the F-ups, or where you slip up with your lyrics. Yeah. But when you're in a room with no music, that is an affidavit. I love that. And then kind of the next point that I wanted to pick apart was telesales, right? So that was, I think 15 odd years ago, that was how I started into sales, doing the dials, having the call lists, and stuff like that. And recently on LinkedIn, I have seen some people bringing the parallels and similarities between telesales and sales development. But for our audience who may not be familiar with that term or kind of what it meant back then, what did telesales mean to you, and kind of what was your day-to-day, Josh?
Yeah, so I mean, telesales is predominantly, a form of selling but over the phone, and it's often equated to lead generation, or you know, it's an environment where you've got salespeople who have mainly the task of picking up the phone and engaging with lists that they've been given. So not too dissimilar from sales development. I think sales development these days is, very much, how are you social selling? What's your email strategy? And what sequencing tool are you using to put it all together and get out there? Whereas I think telesales is more predominantly IT, previously IT sales, based on getting on that phone. And that's why you find some of the best people on the phone are telesales reps, because they've just done it day after day, campaign after campaign. When I mean campaign is, they're not just working one company, they might be working 2-3 different companies lists in a month and selling in that kind of value proposition in that company to generate leads. So it's a great environment because people have really honed their skill there. But what I started doing there was data cleaning. That's what they need people to do, or needed them before the Zoom Infos and the Cognizms and the Lucias and all those guys. I had to just data clean. So I was picking up the phone, calling a switchboard, and just making sure that these 10 people were still at the business. So does John still work there? Does Mike still work there? Does Hannah still work there? And that's what you're doing. It's not the most fun or exciting job, but what that taught me was the value of keeping the database clean or an account clean. And I think it stood me in very good stead, because I think data is such an important part of any business these days, but also your CRM data within a sales function is vital. And that really gave me the habit, the skill, and the enjoyment of, really ensuring that the data is up to date and clean, so that that would help me with my prospecting skills. So much so, I would actually, salespeople have got like a bad stigma around not being particularly hygienic when it comes to data. I think everyone should probably spend a month doing data cleaning, or maybe 2 weeks. And I think you start to see that change. I think it's a good experience.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. And the different parts within in telesales. I think, back then it was just calling for me. It was just like these call lists and numbers. We were using Eloqua from as our lead input system into Salesforce, and I can remember coming in every morning and then just pressing refresh on Salesforce to see all my tasks or calls. But the thing back then was, I didn't have a face, didn't really use LinkedIn. I just had a name of this person and their job title, and my job was to you know, phone them, pitch them about a HR product that we had, and book those either tele appointments or face-to-face appointments for our account managers out across the UK. But because back then there wasn't any lead, like LinkedIn, there wasn't any Sales Loft, we weren't building anything within our CRM because the leads were all populated for us by marketing. All you could do is hone on the phone conversation that you're having with these people. And, you know, at first it was very tedious because you're like, call, reject, call, reject, call, reject. And then I got to the point where I kind of got bored with it. So I wanted to have fun with it. So truth be told, I used to put on different accents. I'd either be Australian one day, be American the other day, be Scottish one other day. And I just try different things just to have a bit of a laugh and fun with it. But I also realized with tonality, that was also important. So having to sit up straight. And, you know, doing telesales and doing the volume of calls, you get a lot of rejection, but you get used to it. You get used to being told to piss off or having the phone slap. So it didn't really affect you. But I also remembered always having to have a smile on my face. And no matter how rude or crass that prospect was, I was just like, okay, Josh, I hope you have a lovely day. Yeah. And I'd get off the phone and think, rather than take it personally, I used to say, I wonder what bad thing happened in their day to make them such a dick on the phone or something. But then again, I had to understand I was interrupting them. They were wondering how I got their phone number. And like telling them, you probably filled out a form of some sort and that's how it's come through. Like, well, make sure that you take me off your... And it was just fun. It was a laugh, you know. But being in that, and then I think, you know, coming out of telesales and then going into my first SDR job, I found it like a bit of a mind-blowing moment where I was told, right, you have to write the emails to try and get them to have a meeting with us. Because back then, the only email that I ever sent in telesales was to confirm the appointment and introduce the account. That was it. I didn't do anything post that. And then I remember like we did have LinkedIn back in 2012. And I remember going to my boss, Fiona, and just saying, what is LinkedIn? And she just said, imagine Facebook, but it's just for work. I said, so what do we use it for? She said, every time you have a call, whether you book a meeting or don't, just connect with that person on LinkedIn. But there was nothing after that. It was just connect. So it was kind of like a Rolodex.
Yeah.
But then going into SDR life, it was finding those people, then adding them to the CRM and then using LinkedIn Sales Nav. And similar to what you said, like with campaigns, I found it weird that I would actually sit with marketing to talk about campaigns of webinars, events, and trying to get these people in.
Yeah.
So much more
sophisticated.
Yeah, it was. And the other difference I found was when I was selling the HR product, we were just ringing HR managers or HR directors. That's as high as we went. But when I was in SDR land, they're telling me I'm only allowed to speak to the C-level, nobody below. And that scared the hell out of me. But then the more you started speaking to these C-level people, they're actually much nicer than the directors and the managers because they were owning the business or running the business and they were just more human. So I think with SDRs that are coming new into this role where they're tasked to speak to the C-suite, understandably, same perhaps with us, it was a bit scary. But I said, you know what, it's actually more fun speaking to those people.
Yeah.
And if anything, they're just like you and me. They go home, they have dinner with their family, they put their feet up. They're just people. But perhaps when it's below the power line, obviously they're told what to do, so there may be a bit more pressure and they may not be as forthcoming as, say, the top upstairs. Anyway, digressing.
That's an interesting point, though. Like what you've talked about is something that, you know, is really important about the first roles that you did, which was you just had conversations on the phone. And I think that's what you need. You just need, what's so difficult in certain businesses, if you can't get a lot of connects, then you can't, especially for a young SDR or an SDR with, you know, quite a developing SDR who's not that very experienced, you know, they need that, you know, it's like in football, right? You don't just play a football game, right? You go to the training field and you practice penalty kicks, you practice your corners, you know, whatever it is, throw-ins, you practice them 100, 1,000 times until you get so good that when it comes to an in-game situation, when that, you know, time take when the time is there to take a penalty, you've practiced it, you're ready for it. And I think that's what probably stood you in good stead, and what stood me in good stead was, yeah, just getting on the phones and speaking to people. It's invaluable.
Yeah, 100%. Because I think you're so right. Because like thinking back to it, all it was just having conversations. And in sales, like being a good, having meaningful conversations with people, being a great conversationalist, is things that one of the skills that really help you out. Because it's all great writing sequences, DMing, you know, recording videos, but having the conversation with somebody, where I think I heard the other day, somebody says, people buy from people, but people buy from people that feel they're understood by, rather than them trying to understand you. So, you know, when speaking to those people on the phone, like understanding, you know, what was their day-to-day job like? Like, how do they make decisions? What does it mean to be a HR manager? And what kind of stresses do you have? Like, you're learning something. You're taking a vested interest in them. And similarly, like, I remember being an SDR and speaking to C-level people. I was just blown away that I was talking to a C-level person. And I was just like, how did you get the balls and gall to launch a company? And like, what does it mean to make millions of dollars? And how does that feel to see that in your bank account? And what did it feel like to hire your first person? I was really interested in those stories. And yeah, to your point, like, I know when some sales leaders may just say, you just need to get on the phone and do it. But I think the way that you can position it is, the early conversations you're going to have, you don't have to be the expert. You don't have to have a perfect call or a conversation. You learn it as you do along, as your analogy with football. You know, like for, again, never really been a football person, and I was crap at football at school, and I just used to have a sick note for the PE teacher because I didn't want to do it. But I think back then you played football for fun. You'd kick the ball around. You'd emulate, you know, your idols or your heroes and stuff. But then the more you probably did it, you probably had more fun with it, that you then wanted to pursue it professionally. So perhaps look at these calls as, this is just the place, like I said, with the accents, just have fun with it. And when you start enjoying something, and it's perhaps the same with music, if you sing a little ditty, but you just keep doing, you enjoy it. With me, I just used to love hearing rap lyrics and then spitting them back, and then I was doing it for fun, and then it turned professional, you know? So yeah, I love that, I love that.
Yeah, for me, it never turned professional. So, you know, I was just...
You never know. Maybe we need to have a My Sales Coach jam band. I really want to do that with some salespeople.
Yeah, I think what you say is... I think that's the interesting thing. In My Sales Coach, you just said it. You know, one of the things that the reps, SDRs come to me and they say is... They think about imposter syndrome, or they think about, you know, I'm supposed to be calling these senior people, or even junior people, and they're like, you know, I feel like I let the phone conversation die early, or if they say no, that's it, because I feel like, who am I to tell this person, you know, any type of advice or sell them something that they need, because they're so much more experienced than me. But I try and flip it and then say, well, look, you know what you're selling, and you know your value proposition once we've been through that. But ultimately, there's nothing wrong with asking people for help or inquiring and just saying, look, I'm new to the role. I'm looking to learn. Can I ask you a couple of questions? And actually, that is a great way of doing a bit of discovery, where you actually get better in your role and you learn without necessarily having to sell them something afterwards. If you do, that's great. I think we implemented that in one of my last companies. It was funny because having some of the reps asking questions, it was a bit difficult. They felt like, oh, I missed the opportunity, or I didn't do it. And I just said, look, forget about asking any questions that around these pain points. Just say, I'm new to the role, I'm looking to learn. If I was to ask you what your biggest problems right now would be, what would you say? And the response to that was amazing. It was all of a sudden we were listening back to calls, and it was people opening up and being really helpful. And it was actually surprising how many times after they said, no, I'm not interested at first, or we're all good. They actually came out with two points, which were pain points. And we were like, we can help you with that. So it was a nice little tactic, but it was all about just learn, you know? And that's what we do every day.
100%. And I love how you've shared that, because I think that's a great insight for the audience. And, you know, similar conversations I've had either as a manager or even being the rep when the new person's coming on board and just giving a bit of advice, which was if you're speaking to CFOs or HR directors, or, you know, if you're selling to salespeople, you don't have to be the expert of that industry, because they're in the job, they're the expert in it. You're perhaps the expert with the solution that helps people like them. So to your point, Josh, asking them a couple of questions, because I said to a rep earlier this week, I said, look, get used to just having the calls, get used to being punched in the face and put the phone down on you. But even if it doesn't end in a meeting, then just say at the end of that cold call or discovery meeting, do you mind if I just ask you one question? And position it like you said, I'm new to the role and I'm learning. Could you tell me, if I'm going to have conversations with people like you, what things should I bear in mind? Or what should I be aware of? And psychologically, people love to teach other people. So when you position them like, can you please teach me? It brushes their ego a little bit. And they're like, okay, cool. And then I used to do that a lot when I was at Showpad selling to VPs of sales, because I wanted to learn about sales. That's why I joined a sales enablement company. And, you know, when you ask them that, initially, like you said, they're a bit abrasive with you and they want to get off the phone. You ask them that question, they then teach you, then 5 minutes goes by, 10 minutes goes by. And what I used to find was the rapport started to build, they became a little bit nicer, the guards came down, and they used to ask this question, so now what is it that Showpad does? Because now they're open to hearing, whereas before they weren't at the beginning of the call. And I just said, well, look, it does this, this is how we help people. And they would then always say, right, we're not looking to buy anything, but send me an email, I'll have a look at it, and I will keep it on file, but I'm not going to commit to a demo. And, you know, 3 or 5 months down the line, then all of a sudden an email would pop up and said, hey, Neil, I think we might be able to use that Showpad thing. Do you mind if we have a call? So it was because you focused on the conversation. You made it more about them than trying to pitch your product.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, I've gone off on another tangent, and I would notice I keep doing that recently. It's just because I really love talking about this stuff. But would you mind, at a high level, just like walking us through the steps of, you know, what was it like to be leadership, working in tech, SaaS, and sales? And then I'd like to come on to the coaching piece and then just get a bit of an insight. What is it like to be coached by Josh? Would that be all right?
Yeah, that sounds good. So I think, right, stop that.
Cool.
Do you want to ask that question again?
Yep, I will do.
All right. Thanks.
All right, so moving on to the next topic, Josh, I'm really interested to know, could you just give us like a high level of what did it mean to be a sales development leader working in tech and SaaS, working with teams, and like, you know, the lessons that you learned from it, because we may have some people that are thinking about going into leadership. And then I'd like to kind of caveat and go into, you know, coaching and sales coaching and how you got into that side of it and where you are today. Would that be all right?
Yeah, sounds good. I think, you know, within the first, you know, 2-3 years of sales development, the question always comes up, where are you going? What's the progression plan? And I was, it was, you know, everyone around me, oh, I want to be an AE. That's the next step. And it feels more like you are, rather than thinking about what you want to do next or what would be good for you, it was more about what everyone else is doing. And I think it came to a road where crossroads where I was like, okay, what do I want to do? And an opportunity came up to be an SDR team lead, team manager. And, you know, I kind of took it and I thought, I was very happy with that decision. It felt more natural. I also felt, you know, I didn't really know what I wanted to do too much, but I, you know, before I became, went into sales, I was thinking about teaching. So it was always something about helping people improve was always quite dear to me.
Yeah.
And then as I became an SDR manager, I was like, wow, okay, how do I get good at this quickly? So, you know, I started to realize, actually, I've got to break things down. I've got to break down the role and then see where I can improve, you know, leadership, management, hiring, onboarding, training, enablement, reporting, all these different facets, skill sets. Yeah. Like, hiring is a tough one in itself. It's the most important part of any business, right? Yeah. But again, you need to practice, but you need to get the opportunity to practice. And that's what you have to be lucky that you're at the right company. because not all companies give you that opportunity, and the people that you work around are also so important. Like, you know, it's really important to make sure that you have that you're learning from people more experienced from you. And I was very lucky. I had people to look up to. Qubit, when I was working, the sales team were really high quality. There were so many people you could learn from, including the leadership. So, you know, I took that role to go into being an SDR manager, and I just started improving every different part of being in that role. The thing I loved, actually, I found actually I'm veering towards more and more is the operational side of it, you know, the reporting, the analysis, the data, and like, how can we make the team more efficient? How can we make them more effective? And then, you know, that for me is kind of the foundation of any team. So got into that. And then obviously the coaching is such a big part, you know, one-to-ones, individuals, when you've hired those individuals, helping them, you know, get good at what they're doing. And then they invariably say, you know, what's my progression plan? I want to be an AE? Where am I going? So helping to take them on a journey of a progression, but helping them understand what that looks like. You know, some great books out there, like Matthew Syed's book. You know, a lot of people have books that, you know, it's inspirational and powerful. For me at that time, Matthew Syed's Bounce was brilliant, and Black Box Thinking, because Bounce was all about, you break down anything into little pieces and you get really, really good at that. You practice it purposefully. And I was like, that's so applicable to the SDR role. You know, if I'm doing cold calling, I used to just pick up the phone and try and do a call. And now, then I started to realize, no, you break the call down into different bits, the intro, the body, the close, the questioning. You get really good at those things, like on the football field again, you know, in the training session. You do it over and over again till it's second nature. And when you put it all together, all of a sudden it's coming out.
100%. And a parallel just coming into my head, like with music, it's similar to like when doing a track. So initially when you have when I'm writing lyrics, I'll have the first 16 bars and it will be split into eights. I get really good at the first eight, then I get on the other eight. Then I come in with a hook and the chorus.
Nice.
Then I have to come in with another eight, which then becomes a 16, and then it's a bridge, and then it's the outro. But you're right, you can segment parts of your talk track, you get better at it. Because I think some people with SDRs, they want to be perfect, call end to end. And I'm like, no, let's, like you said, break it down. I love that.
Breaking it down. I mean, that book was great. And then it was, the second one was Black Box Thinking that he did, which is a great read as well. Great stories in that. It's all about, okay, what went wrong? What do we need to fix? How can we implement that so it doesn't happen again? And that's another amazing kind of methodology almost, or to implement into the way of working. So those two books were really crucial, really impactful. And then, you know, that was the time of Team Sky as well. Well, just after that, so David Brailsford and Marginal Gains, which was, you know, put it all together. We put all those little improvements together, all of a sudden we get to target. And so that's kind of how I approached coaching or training with each reps. I've taken it from there, really. And so when we came to my sales coach, which we've been doing for about a year now, which is, reps come, you know, SDRs come onto calls with different problems, you know, I want to progress, how to become an AE, or, you know, I'm new, how do I cold call, or, you know, I want to be an enterprise SDR. There's so many. So I kind of, obviously discovery is important, trying to understand more about them and where they're going, or maybe what the real problem is. And then, you know, come up with a solution that works for them. Sometimes it's tactical stuff, you know, so if someone comes on a call and they just want to have some cold call training. And that's the same with clients that I work with, you know. So, I help different SDR teams, with a variety of problems. But sometimes someone just wants, we just want cold call training. And that's fine, I can deliver that. But then all of a sudden you realize, actually, maybe cold calling isn't your problem right now. Maybe it's the fact that your team is spending too much time on data cleaning, right? Whatever it is, I'm always searching for what the problem is. But when it comes to coaching, I'm doing a bit of that, but then also trying to help them there with their skills, take them, you know, on a journey there, it helps them improve and grow, and helps them right now, and then also in the future of where they want to get to.
I love that. I love that. And I think, like, with, you know, your vast experience within leadership, it helps you with the coaching today, because I think the difference that I kind of feel is when you're the manager, you are obviously tied to your team, but you're also tied to your company and the company's targets, revenue, everything. So there's that little bit of stress because you're like, I need these people to perform to hit the targets because we've got big things to do. But I think with the coaching piece, because you're an independent coach to them, you're not their manager, you're not their boss. So you can just focus on that individual. And I think with your coaching experience and your leadership, I think this question that I would like to ask, two questions or a question but split to two sides to help our audience and people listening. So question is focused on the individual rep, right? What would you say to the rep to help them work best with their manager? You know, like if they're lost or if they're underperforming or they feel they're lacking in a skill and they want to approach the manager, what advice would you give to the rep? And then the second side is, what could leaders do to have better relationships with their reps?
Yeah, those are really good questions. I think from the leadership side, let's tackle that first, right?
Yeah.
From the leadership side, I hear a lot of people saying, I've got a problem with a particular, you know, SDR.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, not performing. And it's quite often that I then after doing some coaching with an SDR leader or someone maybe is quite new to being an SDR leader, it's like, well, do you really understand their motivations? What's going on with them on a personal level, right? First of all, because they could be experiencing something that might be impacting their work. But also then, you know, I think ultimately as a manager, your job, it's not really about you and your ego. You're there, and I learned this quite quickly, to take the obstacles out of their way so they can perform.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes you need to add in process, you need to add in admin because it's good, but sometimes you need to take stuff away. But you're there to fight for them so they can be successful. And I think that's really important because once they realize that, then they'll warm up to you and realize you're on their side. So that's one really important point. The other one is, you know, you've got to be honest with them though sometimes, right? I had this early as a manager. I wasn't honest. I didn't want to tell the truth because I didn't want to upset them. You know, sometimes you've got to be cruel to be kind, and you really do. But I think, you know, if you don't do that, and, you know, let's say they're not performing and you sugarcoat it, and then all of a sudden they're on the way to being out the door.
Yeah.
That's you know, their expectations haven't been managed, so they look at you as like, you know, that was my fault. So you've got to be honest, you've got to be straight, and they'll respect you for it ultimately. So I think those two things of understanding their why and being honest with them and being their advocate will help them perform. If I'm the rep, and this is just managing, everyone's got a manager, right? Ultimately, but it's just being honest, you know, soliciting feedback, doing, you know, being diligent, you know, when your boss tells you to do something, you know, do it, make them see that you're listening to them. And you're trying and you're coachable. I mean, we'd have a podcast on what does being coachable mean, right? And 10 different answers, but just, you know, showing, just being honest with and asking for feedback. And then going away and putting a plan together or asking for a plan to help you improve. What do I need to do? How can I be better? What can I learn? Those are the questions. If you ask those and try and answer them, whatever you do, you will improve. And if you don't, then maybe that role's not right for you. But, you know, you've come to that conclusion and you'll find something that is and, you know, makes you happy. So that's how I kind of approach it.
I love that. I love that. And I think that's some awesome advice, both for sales leadership and for reps. And, you know, the thing that really resonated with me there, Josh, was as a manager, if there's a problem with a rep, trying to unpick the layers, because if they have a problem, it might not be about the job. It might not be about work. It might be something that's going on in their personal life or they're going through something. And I remember I've come across this lots of times with reps where initially I was just like, do you just not understand how we do the prospecting? Does something in the playbook not make sense? Are you not happy in the job? And I made it all about the company, the job, the role, not the person, right? And sometimes I would take my rep, and I've said it on the podcast before, where I've sometimes, like, if you're in the office and you're with the actual team versus being remote, and you can still do this remote, but taking them out for lunch, just going out for a walk, going for a coffee, and just saying, look, I'm just putting my manager hat down to the side. I just want to know, Josh, is everything all right? Like, work aside. And sometimes when positioned like that, they would open up a little bit and just say, something's happening with a family member, or something's happening at home, or do you know what? I went from one job to this one, and I'm struggling with cash, and I can't afford lunch, and I can't actually afford to come into the office. And when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, didn't even think, you know, and then helping that person. And then, you know, whether it was help from myself directly or connecting them with HR to get them help, or, you know, helping them out in that situation, if it was through mental health and helping with, you know, therapy or anything like that, things like that. Because I was doing a coaching session the other day with somebody, again, for privacy, we don't say who, and they wanted to talk about something going on with relationships within their personal life. And I kind of positioned it and said, I'm not a relationship expert, and I'm not probably the best person to ask this. But what they said after did struck a chord with me, which was, I need to get my head right because it's affecting work. And I just need to vent. And I just want to get somebody else's perspective. And at the end of the session, I said, you know what? This was a really cool conversation. And you're right. Until other things are going good, or you feel comfortable with things in your life and health or whatever it is, it does impact work. Because if you're in a bad mood, you will have confirmation bias of, well, that prospect's an idiot, and oh, that person's gone and got the deal because you're in a bad mood. And then with the rep side of it, Josh, you're right. Being honest and coming to them and saying, I'm finding this hard, or I don't understand this, or, you know, could you help me out with some training? Could you help me out with some coaching? Like informing the reps that they can come to you with anything, and there's never a stupid question. I said the times I used to get worried as a manager is when they went quiet, or they just agreed with everything that I was saying. And I'd sit there like, do you get it? Do you agree with it? Like, you can be honest. If you don't, tell me. And I think creating that safe space, and being able to approach your manager. And sometimes, you know, I used to say to my reps, perhaps if you don't want to come to me directly straight with a question, you can ask anybody else in the organization or externally.
Yeah.
If you want to kind of get some understanding before you come to me as well as that. So, you know, highly recommend doing that.
That's interesting, all what you've said as well, because if you think about the COVID era of working from home, I don't think you need to be in the office every day of the week to work in a sales development team. And we were very successful fully remote, but we had to, an element of hybrid, I think, can be really helpful, but we had to work hard to ensure that when we were fully remote, that we were still having those team exercises, which weren't about work. That, you know, people say free lunch, right? It's a big phenomenon for, VC funded startups. Free lunch, free lunch came from Google, Facebook, and it's the norm, right? But really, what is it? What's the benefit to the business? The benefit of the business isn't free lunch, everyone grabs it and goes back to their chairs and works from it. No, it's a, I don't know what just happened there.
Great moment.
The benefit is people sitting down in the canteen kitchen and grabbing a lunch and speaking to other people in the organization, whether it is the manager, whether it's other teammates, whether it's in another business, part of the business, because it's that way where you start to facilitate relationships. And a business where employees have really good relationships with each other is almost like conduits, right, of information passing across the business. Yeah. So that could be like, you know, stress or unhappiness, or, you know, we just gave examples of where we're therapists, right? As salespeople, as leaders, but as friends, forming friends within the business is really important from a morale perspective. And then the great thing is when people start talking about other things, they start talking about problems that they're facing. And then they start talking about, you know, solutions and innovating. So that concept of getting people together in a business is so important, both for the business's development, but also for those individuals to be happy and, you know, really, you know, engaged in what they do. So,
I love that, because I think, you know, sometimes as sales managers, we've used team get-togethers and team meals as a reward for their hard work, which is all fair and fine for like spiffs of like, yeah, we'll go for a bougie dinner out in London or, you know, in the Netherlands, wherever it was, where I was. But coming back to your COVID piece, this is what kept me sane, right? So I used to encourage the team to do virtual lunches, but kind of like a bingo. So they would go meet with somebody in engineering or somebody in CS or somebody in marketing. And I used to literally sit at this desk and somebody on the side on the Zoom, and we'd have lunch. We'd actually eat our lunch together as if we were at the table. Which also, yeah, firstly, it helps my sanity, but it also helped with my social skills, because Neil used to be a bit of a misery guts back in the day. I didn't used to like having lunch with employees or other people, because I was like, I want to disconnect from work for a minute. And I just want to, doom scroll on my phone. I want to call my bestie around the corner and have a chat with them and not talk about sales and stuff.
And
thinking back to the days of being with my team when they went to the pub on a Friday, and I've said it on this podcast before, I was the manager that didn't want to go out with the team on a Friday because I wanted to go home, because I don't want to be at work anymore.
I could totally relate.
But I think that taught me, having those lunch with those employees, when it wasn't about work, it was about, what is it like to live in Macedonia? Like, how are you brothers or sisters, or do you have any kids? What's that like? What do you do? And finally, I found other musicians and found out that people like played drums or sang or did bass, because I was like, oh shit, I didn't know anything about that about you.
Yeah.
So I think it is really important to connect with people.
It's crucial. Like, you know, I had that with one of my team. I was like, so, you know, what's the ambition? And he was like, I want to buy a flat. That's what I want to do. And I want to do that in the next year. And I was like, okay, brilliant. Well, and then related it back to work from what was the social session was, well, we need to get you to that point. We need to get you, you know, earning the amount of commission that you need to be able to get that mortgage. So yeah, but I can totally relate to that. Oh, I just don't feel it tonight, this week. I don't want to go out. But you have to go, because it's just those conversations. It's those relationships. That's such an important part of a thriving business culture, and also, you know, managing a team.
100%. And I think, like, even relaying it to the recent MSE London event that we were all at, a lot of these other sales coaches, we've all spoken to them online, but here was an opportunity to actually sit down, hug them, shake their hands, have a bite to eat, have a drink and whatnot. But I think, again, going to keep them anonymous to their name, but one of these coaches was somebody that I saw as quite a vet in the game. Dave, you know, they've been a sales trainer, they're a sales coach, they also run a podcast, etc. And when we sat down together, there was a kind of moment of vulnerability where this person hadn't really been in the tech or SaaS space. They hadn't really understood what the SDR role was. So here was an opportunity to say, oh, I get to teach you something. And then it turned into us talking about content creation and then asking Neil, how do you do that thing on YouTube? And like, how do you record all these videos and everything and post it on LinkedIn? And we're sharing like notes. And I kind of said to this person, I was like, do you know what? When I do videos, I actually play the video in my head as if it's already done. So when I have the camera, I'm actually capturing the things I already saw in my head. And he said, yeah, that's such amazing. But it was that element of coaching aside and getting to know the person. And I actually felt a little bit closer, because at first, because I saw them as a vet in the game, I was intimidated by them. But then actually meeting and talking to the person, I was like, oh, actually, you're kind of cool. Not saying that they weren't cool, but I didn't know about them. So I think it is really important to have those chats with your team, with your colleagues, understanding their motivations, where they're coming from, what they want to achieve. I think you're spot on
that. And I mean, you can take that into being a salesperson, right? You know, you're people selling to people. So, you know, if you're selling a product where it's quite competitive and it's a bit of a who can sell a cheaper price, and you've got to offer something else, and that is the relationship, right? And you know, if you can form a relationship with someone on the other end, and sometimes you're just listening to their challenges or difficulties, and that's that, and then you get down to business. that's an important skill to have. And and it's hard to do that remotely. Face-to-face is always better, but, well, usually better. But, you know, it can work either way, but it's just important to put time in with people. I think that's what I've learned to do more and more of in my older age, so to speak.
And if thinking back to like earlier part of this discussion, it was like the art of conversation on those cold calls, you know, in telesales, just calling, having conversations, focusing. And this is the skills that really help you to be a better salesperson and have those sort of meaningful conversations. So, Joe, this has been an awesome freaking episode. Really have enjoyed you coming on board, Josh, and also getting to know you a bit better remotely. But the question that I love to ask some more of my guests as before we wrap up is, if you could speak to that young Josh who's in Manchester, maybe he's just done his last gig and he's thinking about moving to London, what three bits of advice would you like to give that Josh?
Yeah, so growing up, I think for some, you know, when I grew up thinking perfection was possible or always even achievable, right? And therefore, I was afraid of failure because that was kind of, you know, the antithesis of perfection. But, my advice to a younger version of me is like, don't be afraid of failure, embrace it. I mean, you learn more from failure than you do from success, simple.
Yeah. Yep.
I think just, you know, those, if you can go, if you've been through a moment of failure, you felt disappointment, maybe even shame, humiliation, or certainly sadness. You know, if you come through that, pick yourself up again and keep going, you look back at that moment and, you know, that moment you'll see is such a fundamental experience that shapes you and is part of your future success. So yeah, just don't be afraid to fail, you know, try different things, take risks, keep learning about yourself, write stuff down, write your achievements down, you know, your successes, use them as affirmations to keep giving you confidence and just keep going, be productive and learn. And, you know, that's kind of what I do now. Had I done it earlier, you know, I might be in a different path. Who knows? But, you know, that's the advice I would give to people and myself.
I love that. I think your past Josh is spotting you and saying thank you very much, my dude. I think that's solid advice. And hopefully for our listeners, watchers out there in the audience, hopefully this gives you a bit of a flavor as to kind of like Josh's experience, where he's come from, how he helps people. So shameless plug. If you're looking for a sales coach and you're looking at potentially Josh, again, his LinkedIn profile will be within the show notes. Feel free to reach out to him, connect with him as well. So Josh, again, thank you so much for coming on board. And as a gentle reminder for all of our listeners, watchers out there, if you are watching this on our YouTube channel, please make sure that you like, comment, subscribe, and share this chapter. And again, to do us a solid favor, if you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, make sure that you give it a rating, subscribe, and share it to help anybody else that would benefit from today's discussion. But Josh Brewer, an absolute privilege and pleasure to have you on board. And maybe one day we could gig it out with the My Sales Coach crew. But most importantly, have a great weekend, sir, and happy selling.
Thanks, Neil. Likewise, thanks for having me on board.
Thank you for listening to the SDR Disco Call podcast today. We would like to get this message out to more and more sales development reps, so please like, comment, and share in your local podcast provider. If you don't want to miss a show, you can always send a blank email to sdrdiscocall@bcast, which is bcast.email, and you'll be added to our mailing list. We're also on the lookout for new guests, so if you work in the world of sales development as an SDR, BDR, MDR, or ADR, and feel that you have an important message or story to share, feel free to email us at podcast@happyselling.io, and we'd love to have you on board.